Today's lesson is from the prophet Isaiah in the 43rd chapter, beginning at verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Isolated. It's one of the most universal feelings of any mental illness or addiction. The feeling that you are alone in what you are experiencing. The feeling of being a foreigner in a land full of natives. It's not unlike the exile that the Israelites, to whom God is speaking, were feeling. Emmanuel, God with us, is not only a name for God in the season of Advent. God with us is who this missive from Isaiah is all about. God's words of comfort to the Israelites were, do not fear, for I am with you. Isaiah spoke these words for a people who despair, for a people who feel alone. Overwhelmed, a feeling which can kickstart anxiety. It can be the repeated voice which grows louder and louder until the urge for release becomes frantic. Release through a temporary calming. Release through a temporary high. Release through a temporary refocusing of attention. Release through a temporary affirmation. Instead of getting to the other side of whatever overwhelms, getting to the root of whatever overwhelms, it gets set aside until the next wave. God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Isaiah spoke these words for a people who could not imagine a tomorrow, who could not bear another today. Invisible. A feeling that nobody has a clue how much you are hurting, and maybe no one cares. The feeling reinforces the thought that you don't fit in a world of normal people. God says, you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Isaiah declares that God sees God's children, really sees them, and knows them, and seeks to soothe their pains. To live with a mental illness is to live with an invisible illness. That makes it more difficult. If you are walking behind someone who is carrying an oxygen tank, you know to take into account a challenge he or she is experiencing. Likewise, someone showing the clear effects of chemotherapy. But not being able to get out of bed, not being able to prepare a meal, much less shop for a meal, not being able to go out when invited. We are not conditioned to see these behaviors as acceptable signs of illness. People wonder instead why someone can't just get over it or put in a little effort or think of others. These things said to someone with diabetes or cancer, they sound despicable, but they're said every day to people living with mental illness. God does not tell the Israelites to suck it up and stop complaining. God says, I hear you, I see you, and I care about what you are going through. There is a great resource I access through Facebook called Mental Health on the Mighty. The Mighty Self describes themselves as a group who faces disability, disease, and mental illness together. Their subgroup, specifically focused on mental health, surveyed their followers with social anxiety, which can be defined as an extreme fear of being scrutinized or judged by others. Social anxiety cannot be relieved by telling someone that it's no big deal. No one is really paying attention. The followers were asked to share one text they would like to receive after canceling plans because they could not overcome their anxiety in that moment. These are some of their responses. I understand, and I'm not angry. We'll try again for when you're feeling up to it. No problem. Please let me know when you are able to hang out. Is it okay to keep inviting you to events? I want to make sure you are in the loop. That's totally fine. If you think you need to talk things through, just text. I may not understand your anxiety, but I do understand that it's difficult for you, and I appreciate that you're taking care of yourself. What can we do instead that won't be too overwhelming? In other words, do not fear, for I am with you. Responding with frustration to the limits mental illness imposes is far easier than repeatedly responding with the grace found in the suggested text messages. Avoidance is also far easier, especially when we are guided, conditioned, to believe that the signs of mental illness are really portrayals of a lack of fortitude. The pin I wear every time I am at work reads, "You can talk to me about mental health. Break the stigma." Because there can be so much shame in mental illness when society is telling you to just deal with it. I believe comments recently made reinforce the link between mental illness and a presumption of deserved shame when language such as this is used. When you talk about the mental health problems, when people come back from war and combat and they see things that maybe a lot of folks have seen many times over, and you're strong and you can handle it, but a lot of people can't handle it. People with mental illness, like post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD, were not called weak. But there is a widely believed implication that the strong are the ones who can handle what they've seen in combat, what they've experienced. God says to those whom others see as weak, to the Israelites who were taken from their homes, who were overpowered, "Do not fear. I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God tells them, just as they are, that they are beloved. They are God's sons and daughters, everyone who is called by God's name, whom God created for God's glory, whom God formed and made. They are beloved. You who are crying, you are seen. You are beloved. You have not been left alone. You who are afraid, you are beloved. You are seen. You have not been left alone. You who have nightmares, you are beloved. You are seen. You have not been left alone. You who cannot cope, you are beloved. You are seen. You have not been left alone. You who feel so vulnerable, you are beloved. You are seen. You have not been left alone. We are called to speak truth to the lie that mental illness, that addiction, is weakness. Appendicitis is not weakness. Arthritis is not weakness. Skin cancer is not weakness, because the brain is not an appendix or a joint or skin, does not make its afflictions a weakness to be controlled. Because we believe in God who looks at us each and tells us exactly as we are, "You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you." We are called to declare the same to one another. "You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I understand, and I'm not angry. Do not fear, for I am with you." Let us pray. God, give us strength that we might say, "I am with you." Give us courage that we might say, "I will be with you." Give us eyes that we might see and say, "You are precious in my sight," we pray. Amen.